coming to you from deep inside the bowels of a great big empty. Get ready for another episode of The Home Defense Show with Skip Coriel.
Hello, American families. Welcome to this week's episode of The Home Defense Show. I'm your host, Skip Coriel. And if you love your family, care about them deeply, and want to learn how to protect them in every facet of your life, then you've come to the right place. Boy, we've got a great show for you today. Hey, folks, I know you're going to love it. Today we have Pat Kolbeck, a candidate for governor. He'll be speaking with us in segments 2 and segments 3. We'll be talking primarily about Second Amendment related issues, CPL issues. We'll talk about constitutional carry. We'll talk about pistol free zones, pistol registration, all the things that you need to know about before you pull the lever inside that voting booth. And then, of course, in segment 4, I'll tell you what I really think. Folks, over the next month, we're going to be trying to interview the 3 major candidates for governor here in Michigan. I have sent out requests to Brian Calley and also to Bill Schuette to see if we can get them on the show as well. That way you can listen to all 3 of them and choose the candidate that you like. I know politics isn't a warm, fuzzy thing to talk about, but you know what? You have to do it. If you don't do it, the anti-gunners will, and we don't want that. So let's get involved. You have to pick out a candidate that you like and support them to the hilt. Folks, has it been hot, or am I just getting soft in my old age? 95 degrees. I am wilting inside the studio right now. It's not air-conditioned, primarily because that's ambient noise that screws everything up when I'm recording. So it is hot in here. I feel like I'm sitting in one of those blue porta-johns out in the middle of a field, and it's heating up. Oh, it's just terrible. But, hey, Semper Fi. I will brave it on. Okay, what have I been up to? Well, yesterday was 4th of July, obviously. I took my wife and my kids up to Frankenmuth, Michigan, and we went to the Space and Military Heroes Museum there. It was awesome. If you've never done that, I highly recommend that you take your family up there. Very patriotic thing to do, especially on 4th of July. They're open from 10 to 5 daily. It was a great education for my kids. The museum has a lot of stories about Medal of Honor winners and all the people from Michigan who fought in all the wars, from the Spanish-American War all the way up to the Gulf War and the War on Terror. So it was a really good time. I enjoyed it very much. And then, of course, I took my wife to Bronner's. That's the Christmas store there. Our anniversary was on July 3rd, and that was my present to her because I had a feeling that I wouldn't really enjoy it or appreciate it with the same intensity that she enjoys it. And, hey, I was right. We went in there. Do you realize that Bronner's does not have a sporting goods section? They don't even sell any firearms. But I went there anyways simply because I love my wife. And what I found was about 500,000 Christmas tree ornaments, all of them slightly different, but mostly the same. But I went there, I did it, you know, it's the family thing to do. I love my wife, so I went. But then I got to leave. So, hey, take your wife there, she will love it. And then after that, boy, stop at a sporting goods store or that military history museum because you're going to need it once you get done with Bronner's. I did get one good thing there. I got a coffee mug. Has a picture of John Wayne on it, and then it says, "A man's got to do what a man's got to do." And I've got it right here in front of me. It's filled with lemon water, ice cold lemon water. Awesome, awesome, awesome. I am taking Gabe Suarez to heart there. We had him on the show last week, and he talked about physical fitness. And I don't want to become one of those fat guys that's out there trying to protect my family and train other people to do the same thing. So I'm on a strict diet of lemon water. And I just said to Sarah just this morning, I was pouring a glass of lemon water into my John Wayne mug, and I said, "You know what, honey? this lemon water would taste really good if we just put a cup of sugar inside it. And she didn't get the humor. She didn't appreciate that at all. But I guess it would cease to be lemon water and then become lemonade. I love lemonade. Anyways, hey, we got a great show. But before we press on with that, let's take a look at the news. I'm going to bearingarms.com. And what I have here is an article, Psychology Professor Tries to Bring Sides Together on Guns. I can respect anyone who tries to be a peacemaker, especially on a topic as volatile as guns and gun rights. It's not easy, and it's bound to open up all kinds of vitriol. Both sides have passionate members who will not respect any side other than their own. It seems a Canadian psychology professor, warning, danger, Will Robinson, danger. Whenever I hear the word Canadian psychology professor, bells and whistles, yellow flags, orange flags, red flags, they go off in my head. Oh, gosh. But a Canadian psychology professor who specializes in how people think has decided to take a swing at it. Here's what the psychology professor from Canada says. So why do we continue to argue about this? One problem that I rarely see being discussed is that many of us have limited experience with guns and or violence and have to rely on what we know from memory and from external source, and we're susceptible to cognitive biases. Cognitive. You know, I think I know what that means, but let's look it up anyways. I go to dictionary.com. It says cognitive. Adjective, of or relating to cognition. That's a lot of help. Concerned with the act or process of knowing, perceiving, etc. Of or relating to the mental processes of perception, memory, judgment, and reasoning, as contrasted with emotional and volitional processes. You know, that's one of the things about these, you know, Dr. Eggheads from academia. They create all these weird words that don't really mean a whole lot. So basically, cognitive means, hey, this is how I think. Whatever. Let's look at things from the perspective of an average American gun owner. How would a psychology professor from Canada have any idea about the average American gun owner? Who decides who's average? And he's from Canada. What does he know about American gun owners? I bet he doesn't know squat. But let's give him a chance here. This might be you, people you know, family, etc. Most of these gun owners are very responsible, knowledgeable, and careful. True. They own firearms for sport and also for personal protection, and in some cases, even run successful training courses for people to learn about gun safety. That would be me. From the perspective of a responsible and passionate gun owner, it seems to be quite true that the problem is not guns per se, but the bad people who use them to kill others. I agree with that, but I suspect he doesn't. After all, if you are safe with your guns and all your friends and family are safe, law-abiding gun owners too, then those examples will be the most available evidence for you to use in a decision. And so you base your judgments about gun violence on this available evidence and decide that gun owners are safe. As a consequence, gun violence is not a problem of guns and their owners, but must be a problem of criminals with bad intentions. Forming this generalization is an example of the availability heuristic. It may not be entirely wrong, but it is a result of a cognitive bias. Okay, so because you have an experience and a belief that's based on the facts and history, it's a bias. A cognitive bias, the way you think, is wrong. And heuristic, oh, we just gotta look this gobbledygook up. Heuristic. What the flying lip lock does that mean? Heuristic. Serving to indicate or point out. Stimulating interest as a means of furthering investigation. Encouraging a person to learn, discover, understand, or solve problems on his or her own, as by experimenting, evaluating possible answers or solutions, or by trial and error. You know what? Half of these big words that these egg-headed professors use, you could just get rid of and you wouldn't lose anything in the article. Forming this generalization is an example of the availability heuristic. It may not be entirely wrong, but it is a result of a cognitive bias. Keep the word heuristic. It's a $10,000 word that doesn't mean squat to me. But many people, and me also, are not gun owners. What a surprise. You're from Canada and you're in academia. I do not own a gun, but I feel safe at home. Yes, you're a sheep. As violent crime rates decrease, that's true, the likelihood of being a victim of a personal crime that a gun could prohibit is very small. That's true indeed. Praise God. Most people will never find themselves in this situation. In addition, my personal freedoms are not infringed by gun regulation, and I too recognize that illegal guns are a problem. You know, you're in Canada. Most guns are illegal. Most situations where you could own a gun are illegal. Yes, your freedom has been violated. You're just so numb to it because you've never known real freedom. Your sense of freedom is about as pale as the apocalyptic rider on his pale white horse. Okay, you don't understand freedom at all because you've never experienced it. If I generalize from my experience, I may have difficulty understanding why people would need a gun in the first place, whether for personal protection or for a vaguely defined protection from tyranny. Actually, that's not vaguely defined at all. We've defined it for decades. You're living in tyranny in Canada. You just don't know it. From my perspective, it's far more sensible to focus on reducing the number of guns. After all, I don't have one. I don't believe I need one. So I generalize to assume that anyone who owns firearms might be suspect or irrationally fearful. Forming this generalization is also an example of the availability heuristic. It may not be entirely wrong, but it is a result of a cognitive bias. In each case, we are relying on cognitive biases to infer things about others and about guns. These things and inferences may be stifling the debate. Do you think? All right. The author of the BearingArms.com article, Tom Knighton, says, "Not unreasonable so far. He left some things out. Things he probably doesn't understand are even things. But let's allow him to continue. Where does this psychologist think we should go from here?" So he says, "How do we overcome this? It's not easy to overcome a bias because these cognitive heuristics are deeply ingrained and indeed arise as a necessary function of how the mind operates. They are adaptive and useful, but occasionally we need to override a bias." And he thinks, obviously, we should override this one. "Here are some proposals, but each involves taking the perspective of someone on the other side of this debate. Those of us on the left of the debate, liberals, proponents of gun regulations, should try to recognize that nearly all gun enthusiasts are safe, law-abiding people who are responsible with their guns. Seen through their eyes, the problem lies with irresponsible gun owners. What's more, the desire to place restrictions on their legally owned guns activates another cognitive bias known as the endowment effect, in which people place high value on something that they already possess. The prospect of losing this is seen as aversive because it increases the feeling of uncertainty for the future." No, what it stimulates in me is anger. My right to keep and bear arms is God-given. Therefore, it cannot be man-taken away. I'm more of the Charlton Heston type. You can pry my gun from my cold, dead hands, okay? Stay in Canada, you bourgeois. I better stop. Number two, those on the right, gun owners and enthusiasts, should consider the debate from the perspective of non-gun owners and consider that proposals to regulate firearms are not attempts to cease. So, let me try that again. Those on the right, gun owners and enthusiasts, you and I, should consider the debate from the perspective of non-gun owners and consider that proposals to regulate firearms are not attempts to seize or ban guns, but rather attempts to address one aspect of the problem, the sheer number of guns in the U.S., any of which could potentially be used for illegal purposes. You know, come into my house, try to break into my safe, you psychology egghead from Canada. Try and break into my safe. Try and steal my guns. You won't get inside the door. Why? Because I will shoot your sorry ass. I'm sorry. There's no debate on this. There's no compromise. It's my gun. You can't have it. Stay in Canada where you, quote-unquote, feel safe. And I'll stay here in America where I, quote-unquote, feel safe with my gun. Jeez, oh, Pete. He says, we're not trying to ban guns, but rather to regulate them and encourage greater responsibility in their use. You're not trying to ban guns. No, yes, you are. But let me go on with what Tom Knighton says. And here's where he lost me. Yeah, you lost me too. You see, he has missed one important factor, and that's one of history. A key reason why so many of us refuse to budge on the issue of guns is that we have budged in the past, time and time again. Gun owners were asked to suck it up and accept new regulations to combat crime, and we did. We accepted registering our machine guns despite not being mobsters gunning down on our opponents. We accepted no longer being able to get guns directly via mail. We accepted background checks at the time of purchase. And here in Michigan, folks, we accepted pistol registration. Guess what happened, though? Not only did crime not decrease, but anti-gunners also kept coming back with more demands. It wasn't enough to register guns. They wanted to ban the sale of any new machine guns, thus driving the cost through the roof as the law of supply and demand reared its ugly head. It wasn't enough for background checks on new guns. They wanted us to have to get them on everything, thus creating a kind of registration. No matter what we did, they wanted more and more and more and more. You know what? Tom has nailed it. We know that the end game of the left, i.e. psychology professors from Canada, your end game is to quote-unquote regulate guns so much that anything that we have, we've got to get permission from the government to own a shotgun. We have to get permission from the government to shoot a deer, which we have to do now. We have to get permission from the government to go to the bathroom. No, that's not what freedom is all about. Mr. Psychology Professor from Canada, please stay in Canada. Don't come to America. Please stay there. We don't want you to come to America. And kindly keep your opinion to yourself, because it doesn't matter to us. It doesn't matter to us one stinking little iota, because you're from Canada. You are not from America. You are not from Michigan. Oh, jeez. Where do these people come from? Oh, from Canada, from Great Britain, from Germany. Wow. Totally amazing. Well, folks, now that my blood is boiling, I'm going to need a two-minute break here to try and calm myself down before I talk with Pat Kolbeck here about the governor's race. So the next two segments, we've got Pat Kolbeck, gubernatorial Republican candidate for governor here in the great state of Michigan. So he's going to tell us all things about Pat Kolbeck and about his beliefs on the Second Amendment. And we will get into some minute detail about what he would do to change the gun laws here in the great state of Michigan. This is Skip Coriel on the Home Defense Show. Take a two-minute break. Check out our sponsors, elitefirearms.us. Find out what Larry Jackson can do for your family. And then go to firearmslegal.com/MidwestTactical and get your family protected against the criminal justice system. This is Skip Coriel on the Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
My name is CJ Coriel. Welcome to the Home Defense Show with my dad, Skip Coriel. Don't go nowhere. We'll be right back.
This is Skip Coriel from the Home Defense Show, and I want you to have the very best handgun that money can buy. And that's why we recommend you visit Larry Jackson at Elite Firearms and Training. As a concealed carry instructor, I see people every week out on the range with guns they can't shoot properly because they didn't know what to buy. That will never happen at Elite Firearms and Training. Larry Jackson will personally fit you with your very own personal defense pistol. So call Larry Jackson today at 616-299-8715 or visit elitefirearms.us.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. I host Frontlines of Freedom, a weekly syndicated military talk radio show. One of my co-hosts is Skip Coriel, the host of this show. We cover things that impact military and veteran communities, and we do it from the veteran's perspective. The show is broadcast across the nation and is also available as a podcast on our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please join Skip and me weekly on Frontlines of Freedom.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Skip Coriel. We are speaking now with Patrick Kolbeck. He is one of the Republican gubernatorial candidates for governor of Michigan. Patrick, welcome to the Home Defense Show.
And great to be with you, Skip.
All right. Hey, Pat, I got the opportunity to finally meet you in person at the Second Amendment March, just a few weeks ago at the Lansing State Capitol, and it was certainly an honor to meet you and get to talk to you a little bit off the record there. And I thought, this would be great if we could talk to you on the Home Defense Show here and give all the CPL holders of Michigan an opportunity to meet you. And, hey, you can tell us what you think about whatever. Pat, for the benefit of our listeners, tell us about all things Pat Kolbeck. Who are you?
All right. Well, first of all, I'm somebody who's very thankful that we had so many people out at the Capitol the other day. I mean, I've been out there speaking to people when we've had maybe a couple dozen people, and there we had, I don't know what the final estimates were, but it was well over 1,000 people. Yeah. And it was really good to see people asserting their Second Amendment rights and not being shy about it, because I think there's a lot of people, just like in free speech land, they want to shout you down and not express yourself. They're doing the same thing with our gun rights. And so the fact that everybody was out there and none of those AR-15s jumped out of people's hands and started shooting people or anything like that, it was really a testament to good AR-15s behaving themselves, but also the fact that a lot of the stuff that's being thrown around into the media right now is just for political purposes designed to subvert some of the principles that a lot of us hold very, very dear. Those constitutional principles are something that aren't supposed to be violated. So, by the way, I would never talk like this as recently as 10 years ago. I was never engaged in politics. So if you want to know a little bit more about me, I'm just an aerospace engineer. That was my background. I'm one of those guys that was perfectly happy sitting in front of a CAD terminal or a spreadsheet. Now God's got another plan for me. So I used to be, used to work for Boeing Defense and Space Group on the International Space Station. I helped design the environmental control and life support system, and went on to work for the Department of Defense as a CETA contractor, working on advanced simulation systems for training, essentially fancy war gaming. And then went into a career of management consulting, where I help turn around businesses and help them work better. And that's exactly what I do as governor. As a state legislator, I've served two terms in the Michigan Senate. After looking out at the world, saying things are going in the wrong direction, my wife and I finally decided to run. We got active in the Tea Party. That was the first political event I ever went to, unless you discount church council. And went off and prayed about it and decided to run and became the first person elected directly in the Michigan State Senate back in 2010 with zero political experience. And we beat four former state reps and were the first person to do that in over three decades. So essentially my whole career, if you will, I don't like calling it a career because it's probably my least favorite job I've ever had, but my stint in the Michigan Senate was all about principled service. I've been rated the most conservative senator on a consistent basis, sticking up for constitutional rights, and the bigger the challenge, the better. Helped turn around our veteran services from one of the worst in the country to number two in the nation in just 4 years. And passion for turning things around. And I think we got a lot of room for improvement in the state when it comes to putting somebody a principal in the governor's office.
Pat, you and I have some things in common I don't think I realized before. You worked in aerospace. You were an aerospace engineer.
Yep.
I worked in aerospace for, actually it was Smiths Aerospace, now it's GE Aviation, but I worked in Grand Rapids there as a technical writer.
Oh, wow.
In aerospace for over 20 years, and that's where I met my wife, an aerospace engineer.
So we
fell in love right there in the aerospace industry, and now we're married. We got three little kids, 7, 8, and 12, and my wife, she quit her aerospace engineering job to become a homeschooling mom.
Well, apparently she met your technical specifications.
Yes, she did. Yeah, the requirement spec was spot on that. And it was just, we do have some things in common. Obviously, we have faith in common, and we have love for the Second Amendment, the right to keep arms in common as well. Now, been talking to other people about you. I don't know if your ears have been burning or not, but, you know, I like to check.
Probably from sunburn from walking in the parade yesterday.
Well, you know, I just, one thing that people tell me is they refer to you as the Tea Party candidate. What exactly does that mean?
Well, it's, Tea Partiers are somebody who believe we should follow the Constitution and shouldn't spend more than we take in. In other words, it's what we used to call being an American.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I think that's probably true. But, you know, you are running against, Bill Schuette and Brian Kelly, and I believe Dr. Hines as well. How are you faring as far as...
We're going to win this. We've actually got some recent... we're going to win this. This is not... If you look all around the state, there's an enthusiasm for our campaign that dwarfs all the other campaigns put together. Matter of fact, during that WDIV debate that was televised last Thursday, my name was Googled 2.5 times more than all the other candidates combined. And we're hearing phenomenal feedback on the ground. The other guys are trying to manufacture artificial ground teams to take us on, but really... The folks, we've got over, I think it's close to 3,000 volunteers now throughout the state working on our behalf. We were in 12 parades over the Independence Day holiday here, and I don't think any of the other campaigns went beyond 2 or 3.
So you feel good about your organization then? You've got good organizational skills, and you've got a team that's up and running, and you're happy with that?
I'm happy with the team for sure. It is really... The enthusiasm, and this is what makes a difference. That's what made the difference in the presidential election, is that Trump couldn't keep yard signs in stock. We got the same issue on our team right now. We don't have the most money, because I haven't sold my soul to a lot of people and as a condition of campaign donations, but we have something better. We have a principled record of defending people and looking up for their best interests. And it resonates with a lot of people. They want people that are plain talking. They're yes means yes or no means no. And we've got a real aversion both with Republicans, independents, and Democrats, where they can't stand politics as usual. And most people recognize that I'm anything but politics as usual. I actually follow through on what I say I'm going to do.
Well, Pat, came from aerospace. You spent the last, eight, nine years or so in politics, for lack of a... So does that still qualify you as an outsider?
Well, I encourage folks to read. I actually wrote a book called Wrestling Gators, Outsider's Guide to Draining the Swamp. If you want to read my story and what we've gone through over the last 8 years in some detail, it'll give you a little bit more insight as to why I claim that. The fact that I'm the only returning senator that was not offered any chairmanships or any committees, despite having a stellar performance as budget chair for state police and Department of Military and Veterans Affairs, kind of already alluded to the turnaround we've done with veteran services from worst to number two in the nation, and did similar performance improvements in state police. When you don't receive a chairmanship, it begs the question, well, why is that? And the bottom line is, when I asked the Senate Majority Leader, Arlen Meekoff, why that was the case, he said, You were too vocal in your opposition to the expansion of Obamacare, known as Healthy Michigan or Medicaid expansion. Number two, you were too vocal in your opposition to Common Core standards. And so, by the way, I'm on the Republican side of both of those issues. But I will not, you know, so there's an issue there where I'm not up there to go along to get along. I know who I serve. As a matter of fact, I was somewhat recently, back in September, I think, last year, removed from all my committee assignments about 2 days after the Senate Majority Leader had an issue with me going to a Right to Life banquet in his district without notifying him. And when he was calling me insubordinate, I attempted to recalibrate him and let him know that I do not work for him. I work for the people of Michigan. Mm-hmm. And 2 days later, I got my committee assignments removed. So if that qualifies as an outsider, then I think I'll wear that loud and proud.
Well, actually, it sounds like you probably still are an outsider. Pat, I am holding a copy of An Outsider's Guide to Draining the Swamp, Wrestling Gators by Patrick Kolbeck. It's right here in my hand right now, and, you know, I've been leafing through that. It's very interesting. What prompted you to go ahead and write this book? This is fairly recent, isn't it?
Yeah, well, actually, I started writing about 8 years ago, and it was I really wanted to provide a guide as to how government really works on the inside. There's a lot of stuff that, when I ran for office coming out of the Tea Party, this is not on my A list of things I wanted to do with my life. So, as you can tell, with my work on space station, with the Department of Defense, I really enjoyed that part of my career. And so the idea of getting into politics, where immediately once you announce that you're running, you lose half of your family and friends. that's not something for the faint of heart. So
yeah.
I wanted to make sure that this penance, if you will, counted, and so that people understood what levers to push or pull or whatever to make sure that people were held accountable and that the right things got done up in government. So that's what this book's all about. It talks, obviously, about my faith journey, but also how we got into politics. And at the end, it really tries to zero in on how can we restore a healthy respect for our system of government. And I think that focuses on who we elect into office and how they serve.
Yeah. So basically, if I can summarize this, you can tell me if I'm off or on here. You know, you had a good-paying job. You had a good life. You know, you could have cruised through, got your pension, made good money, got that house on the beach.
Yeah.
That's right. But instead, you screwed it up and you went into politics. You ran for elected office. And, and you actually won. You served 2 terms in the Senate. And, boy, I don't know. I should probably feel sorry for you. But, you know, if you win the governorship, you know, maybe this will all be worthwhile, or it could be more.
Well, that's when the work starts in earnest more. I mean, this is not about governor's title. It's not about any of that stuff. It's about fixing this, because I've got family members that have been shipped out of our state because of bad policies here. Mm-hmm. This, for me, this is personal. All right? You know, when I graduated from University of Michigan with my aerospace degrees, I got shipped out of the state to go find work. I mean, that's where I could find it. And it was kind of frustrating. And I can tell you, I could put together a Michigan club anywhere I went in California and Alabama and Florida, which is where I was working with Lockheed and Boeing and Department of Defense, of a bunch of displaced expatriates from Michigan that had been shipped out because of bad policies. And you know what? I want to bring them all back here. And I've got policies that I think are going to do that and get people back home. And like eliminating, say, personal income tax is one of those items.
Oh, that appeals to me. Well, also, Pat, we have a lot more to talk about, but we're out of time for this segment. Let's go ahead. Let's take a 2-minute break. And when we come back, I want to zero in on 2 things. I want to zero in on God, and I want to zero in on guns. And I think the two are related, but we'll figure that out when we come back. We got a 2-minute break. Go ahead and check out our sponsors, elitefirearms.us, and then check out Firearms Legal Protection and find out how they can help protect your family against the criminal justice system should you ever make a questionable call. This is Skip Coriel on the Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
is Phoenix Coriel on the Home Defense Show. Always use guns safely and wisely. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hey, folks. I want to tell you about my book, Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book. More and more people across the country are seeing the dangers in society and are deciding to carry concealed to protect themselves and their families. My new book lays it out step by step. It'll teach you how to protect and defend the ones you love. Get the benefit of 17 years of teaching experience and a lifetime of training for this important role in society and in your family. You can get Civilian Combat real easy. Just go to Amazon.com, search on Skip Coriel, Civilian Combat, and it'll pop right up there. Don't put it off any longer. Get Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book by yours truly, Skip Coriel.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if life was like the movies and the good guys always won? In today's world, if you're forced to use your firearm to protect yourself, you will need protection. Firearms Legal Protection is here for you. FLP provides you with seasoned, experienced attorneys that handle your criminal and civil matters as a result of you protecting yourself. FirearmsLegal.com provides its members with uncapped attorney's fees, bail bond protection, and coverage in all 50 states. We are not a reimbursement plan. You can access uncapped attorney's fees for as low as $10 a month. Firearms Legal members are provided with educational services, training videos, and access to our vast national attorney network. While you're protecting yourself, let Firearms Legal protect you.
Listen up, folks. This is important. There are plenty of legal protection services out there, but none will protect you as well as Firearms Legal Protection. This is the one I use and the only one I recommend. Visit firearmslegal.com/Midwest Tactical and protect your family now. Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Skip Coriel. We are speaking with gubernatorial Republican candidate Patrick Kolbeck. Pat, you were in aerospace. You had the good life. You gave it up for politics. So, but, you know, Pat, I thank you very much for being on the show today. Got to meet you at Second Amendment March. We had a good talk, and that prompted me to follow up with this interview. We have a lot in common. Okay, I was at the David Barton Patrick Kolbeck event at Cornerstone University.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's good.
That's right. You didn't know that. I was on your security detail.
Thank you. Yeah, I didn't see everybody out in the back there under the lights, but yeah, thank you very much.
Well, yeah, I was there. We had a team of 8. Sheriff's office people, off duty, there to protect you and David Barton. Oddly enough, I got to meet David Barton, but I didn't get to meet you. You were just so popular there that I couldn't get close to you. But anyways, by the way, I graduated from Cornerstone University. It's my alma mater, and I taught there for a few years. I just, I love that organization. My daughter just graduated from there a year ago, and now she's teaching in Kalamazoo. But let's talk about God. Talk to me about your faith. What's your history? What's it mean to you?
Well, first of all, you know, our previous president kind of put this into the crosshairs, didn't he?
Yes,
saying all those all those guys clinging to their guns and religion, right?
Mm-hmm.
Our founders once said that we're either going to be ruled by the Bible or the bayonet, and so the folks who don't care about the Bible, we need the bayonet.
Right.
And for me, my whole wake up into giving up the good life, as you're talking about it, and going off and running for office came from a call of faith. Back in 2009, we started getting woken up to the fact that maybe we're being called into looking out beyond our own comfort zone and do what the best interest of others is. And my wife and I participated in a lay apostolic ministry called Via de Cristo. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. It's like a Curcio or a Walk of Emmaus movement. And it's just designed to get you into a meaningful walk with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And you learn piety, which is your relationship with God, your study, you immerse yourself in God's word and what he wants you to do in your life. And then apostolic action, which is, okay, now you've got your piety and study, go off and make disciples of all the nations. And so it was after about 10 years in understanding and improving our walk with Christ that we started saying, guys, we got the world is not going in a good direction. We need to stop yelling at the TV and radio and go out and do something about it. So we got involved in the Tea Party, as I mentioned before, and started going to these coffee hours. And well, the guy that was going to be running for the seat that I've been holding for the last two terms just lied to my wife and I during one of his coffee hours, and because we had done our research and we knew he was trying to blow smoke.
Yeah.
So I went off, prayed about it, gave God a deadline. Done. February 21st in 2010, my devotion read, "For many run the race, but only one gets the prize. Run such a way as to get the prize." And my wife and I just said, well, I guess we're going to do this. And I shut down my business operations for 9 months. We calculated we needed something like $20,000 to get the first paycheck in January, because I did not have, we're not rich, we're not wealthy. Matter of fact, I had to liquidate all my retirement savings in order to run for office and keep the lights on at home. So this was a case where we're all in. And you know what? Through it all, we're God guides, she provides. I mean, I've got a contract right after praying specifically for the $20,000. I got a call the next day for a contract for 2 weeks that paid $20,000. And he's never, ever let us down. That's just given me a little bit of a boldness when it comes to serving. I mean, I take on the big issues. If you're looking for somebody who's going to be pushing for stop sign legislation, I'm not your guy. But I did lead the effort to restore the fundamental freedom of assembly for rank and file workers by passing Right to Work. I led opposition to the gas tax because I said I demonstrated how to go off and fix our roads without increasing taxes. I have a very detailed plan on how to do that. I was pretty outspoken, as we alluded to earlier, against Obamacare and Common Core. And whenever I say no to one policy, I always provide a better alternative that's aligned with constitutional principles and freedom. It can be very frustrating for some to deal with somebody like that, but that's the way I roll.
Okay. All right. Good enough. Kind of a no-compromise guy then, huh? Patrick, now that we know you a little bit better, let's go ahead and let's transition into Second Amendment, right to keep and bear arms. You know, what I've learned when you're talking to people who are running for office or elected officials or whatever, you have to be careful about how you word your questions. You know, because primarily I can say, well, how do you feel about the Second Amendment? And even Joe Biden would say, oh, I fully support the Second Amendment. Yeah. But then, you know, with one hand, he's patting you on the back, and the other hand, he's taking away, you know, taking your gun out of your holster.
Yeah.
So I have learned to ask specifics, because I can ask any candidate, do you support the Second Amendment? And any Republican candidate, and they'll say, yes, I certainly do. But I want to ask you some specific issues, and you just tell me how you feel about it. For example, several years back, Governor Snyder vetoed a bill that would have allowed for what's called an enhanced CPL. If you got an additional 8 hours of concealed carry training, you would be exempt from the pistol-free zones. How do you feel about pistol-free zones, and how would you feel about that particular legislation?
Well, I voted for that legislation because it moved the needle in the right direction, I thought, which allowed for people to carry concealed in gun-free zones. But in regards to the whole idea of gun-free zones in the first place, I think it's nuts. I think we should go beyond the Second Amendment and go to the Michigan Article 1, Section 6, which means that we all have the right to bear arms in self-defense. And that means I don't have to test my eyesight reading my gun-free zones on my CPL permit on the back of there. It means that I'm not going to worry about whether or not I'm allowed to carry a gun into a certain building or not. I'm going to be able to carry it wherever because it's my right for self-defense.
Okay, so there is I believe it's Senate Bill 584 right now, very similar legislation. So, hey, if you were governor and that came across your desk, would you sign it or would you veto it?
No, I'd sign it easily, but I think we can do a heck of a lot better and just eliminate the whole concept of gun-free zones in the first place.
Okay.
And 98.7% of mass killings occur in gun-free zones. It's because these psychopaths that want to go in and shoot people are counting on the fact that nobody's going to fire back.
All right.
So there's two different approaches on how to keep everybody safe in society. One is to wrap everybody into a plastic bubble wrap of life where you have all this top-down government control that takes away all of our freedoms. I mean, you can walk down the street very safely behind the Iron Curtain, and I've been out there in East Germany and Soviet Union, but you know what? That's not the life I want to lead either. Yeah. On the other hand, if I have the ability to go off and do a bottoms-up control instead of top-down, where I actually take personal ownership and responsibility for my self-defense, that's the way our system of government's designed to work, and that's the way I want it to work. Now, bills like you're talking about, are they needle movers in the right direction? Okay, yeah, although, frankly, I get a little concerned with all the extra training and everything else that goes into it. People should be trained in general with firearms, and we should encourage that in the culture, but I always get a little nervous when it's the government telling us we have to do it.
Okay. So you would probably sign a bill that said, hey, let's just get rid of these pistol-free zones.
Absolutely. I'm a constitutional carry advocate across the board, too. So, I mean, this is about, I don't want the government tracking papers on who owns or doesn't own a gun as well.
Well, hey, well, I'm going to put a tally over. Okay, one for Pat Kolbeck. I think you just picked up a few votes there, by the way. Constitutional carry. What are your views on constitutional carry? First, what do you think it is? And then, are you for it or against it?
Well, I think it's all policies that align us back with the basic core principle that we have the right to bear arms in self-defense. It's not something that the government grants us that right. No, we the people have that right, which means that if I want to carry my gun into a pistol-free zone, I should be able to do that, and we shouldn't have a pistol-free zone. It also means that the government shouldn't be the one determining whether or not I have the ability to carry arms or firearms. I shouldn't need a permit in order to go off and purchase a pistol, for example. That shouldn't be something that I need, although I do believe we should do background checks. If somebody's got a felony for using a firearm to commit a crime, that's probably not a good person to let have a firearm, right? But we've gone so far beyond that into today's society now where they're trying to push for mental health clarifications as to whether or not somebody should own a gun. I just want to put this into people's heads a little bit on this, is that under President Obama, you know, the Department of Homeland Security characterized people that believe in the right to life, people that were ex-military, people that were members of Tea Partiers, as threats that needed to be watched by the Department of Homeland Security. What's to make us think that that same sort of due diligence, if you will, wouldn't be applied to somebody designating somebody as a mental health threat? And okay. Anytime the government's in that business of determining that, it gets into a pretty scary territory.
All right. So sounds like Pat Kolbeck wants to get rid of the pistol-free zones, and you would like constitutional carry, or some people call it permitless carry. And you're saying, hey, we don't get this right to keep and bear arms from the government, so where do we get it?
We get it from God.
That's right. We get it from God. Okay.
Yeah, no, we get it from God.
All right. Thank you very much, Pat. Good.
Yeah.
Now, I've got one other issue here, specific issue. Pistol registration. Michigan is one of the few states who have pistol registration. How do you feel about that?
As much as I can't stand it here, Vermont's actually a better state regarding gun laws than Michigan.
Yeah.
And I'm not a fan of pistol registration. I know there's folks in law enforcement that do appreciate that, and I understand it. But I also understand how those lists can be used against us. And you might recall back in California, there's this news agency got all the registration data from the authorities in California and published that on a Google map for everybody to know where everybody who owned a gun lived.
Yeah.
And
wow.
I tell you, I don't want anybody in the government having that list, and I definitely don't want anybody in the media having that list.
Yeah. Hey, yeah, I agree with you. So you want to get rid of pistol registration, you want to advance constitutional carry, and get rid of the pistol-free zones. Those are three big topics for Second Amendment advocates, and boy, you passed the litmus test on all three of those. Pat, we are out of time now for this segment, but hey, you've done a good job. I appreciate what you've said. But before you go, how can people get a hold of your book, Wrestling Gators?
Go to Amazon.com, the easiest way. We're actually a number one bestseller in two different categories on Amazon already. And awesome. Just encourage you to get the book up there. And you can find out more about our governor's run at ColbeckForGovernor.com. I think you'll find, especially on Second Amendment issues, that nobody else holds the torch to us.
All right. Hey, that is fantastic. Now, Pat, it's been great talking to you. I wish you the best in the upcoming primaries. So I think you picked up some support here this morning just by virtue of this interview and what you've said. So,
thank you, Skip. Keep up the good work.
All right. Thank you very much, Pat. Hey, we will be talking with you again. In the meantime, we got a two-minute break. Go ahead and check out our sponsors. And when we come back, I'll tell you what I really think.
This is Skip Coriel on the Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Welcome to my dad's Home Defense Radio Show. You're gonna love it.
Hey, folks. I want to tell you about my book, Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book. More and more people across the country are seeing the dangers in society and are deciding to carry concealed to protect themselves and their families. My new book lays it out step by step. It'll teach you how to protect and defend the ones you love. Get the benefit of 17 years of teaching experience and a lifetime of training for this important role in society and in your family. You can get Civilian Combat real easy. Just go to Amazon.com, search on Skip Coriel Civilian Combat, and it'll pop right up there. Don't put it off any longer. Get Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book by yours truly, Skip Coriel.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. I host Frontlines of Freedom, a weekly syndicated military talk radio show. One of my co-hosts is Skip Coriel, the host of this show. We cover things that impact military and veteran communities, and we do it from the veteran's perspective. The show is broadcast across the nation and is also available as a podcast on our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please join Skip and me weekly on Front Lines of Freedom.
This is Skip Coriel from the Home Defense Show, and I want you to have the very best handgun that money can buy. And that's why we recommend you visit Larry Jackson at Elite Firearms and Training. As a concealed carry instructor, I see people every week out on the range with guns they can't shoot properly because they didn't know what to buy. That will never happen at Elite Firearms and Training. Larry Jackson will personally fit you with your very own personal defense pistol. So call Larry Jackson today at 616-299-8715 or visit elitefirearms.us.
Skip, it's time for Armed America Report. What do you have?
All of us here at Front Lines of Freedom want our listeners to get trained and get armed in that order. We fully support the right to keep and bear arms for all law-abiding families, and we encourage you to find out about the laws governing use of deadly force in your state and follow them to the letter. And of course, don't forget to follow the rules of safety and common sense whenever you're carrying a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
In another example of how gun empowers a woman, a South Carolina woman used a 9mm handgun to protect her boyfriend from a deadly threat by an attacker armed with a shotgun and a garrote. The thug was one of two people who forced their way into the home. The incident started with a loud knocking caused the male homeowner to crack the door to peek outside. The door was pushed in, shoving the resident against the wall hard enough that the drywall cracked, according to a video news report. The intruders threatened the people inside the house, and during the ensuing struggle, the homeowner's girlfriend fired two shots, killing one of the bad guys and causing the others to flee.
Thanks, Colonel. According to the Women's Self-Defense Institute, the crime statistics show that about 31 million total crimes are reported in the U.S. annually. That's about one crime per second. Victim rates of violent crimes have increased. Without warning, a situation can turn from safe to sorry, turning you not only into a victim, but the top news story of the day. And most people who are victimized never imagined that crime would ever happen to them. It always seems to happen to the other person. The crime stats indicate that in the next hour, somewhere in the U.S., the following will happen. 900 thefts, 189 violent crimes, 124 assaults, 66 robberies, 24 sexual assaults, 12 rapes, and 2 murders. Is it any wonder that more and more women are getting trained in the legal use of deadly force and then getting armed? I think not. And this is one boyfriend that I'm sure is glad his girlfriend knew how to take out the trash. When properly coordinated, you and your spouse should compose half a fire team. You sleep together, you eat together, you may even work together. So, why not use deadly force together? I think it's incredibly romantic. My wife and I sometimes shoot together and often train together by discussing what we should do in a given self-defense scenario. If a husband and wife are going to work together as a team, then you need to know what the other person is going to do should an attack occur. When you're sitting at dinner or lying in bed or just driving down the freeway, discuss together in detail what you would do in the following attack scenarios: attempted carjacking, parking lot mugging, an ATM attack, or even a child kidnapping attempt. These are just a few of the major criminal attacks that you could face as a family. Discuss together whether you are legally justified in using deadly force in your jurisdiction, then decide what tactics the two of you should use. Then fine-tune the tactics to make sure both of you are on the same page. If you want to keep your marriage strong, then it's very important that you talk to one another. It's the same with self-defense. If you want to work as a team, then both of you need to communicate so you know what to expect and how to respond to any given attack. This lady did a great job by herself, but she could have done even better if her and her man had worked together as a military team.
Thank you, Skip.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Skip Coriel. Pat Kolbeck seems like a good guy, and I liked his answers to all of those Second Amendment-related questions. Sounds like if he gets elected, then, hey, Michigan gun owners could be getting some good legislation signed into law. If you want to learn more about Pat Kolbeck, learn how to support him, donate, whatever, go to his website, kolbeckforgovernor.com. kolbeckforgovernor.com, and that's spelled C-O-L-B-E-C-K. Okay, now let's move on to the part of the show where I tell you what I really think. Last week, we had a great interview with Gabe Suarez of Suarez International, and it turned out to be the most listened to show since I started the Home Defense Show almost 2 years ago. Gabe is very insightful, and I always take his comments to heart. One thing he said that has really convicted me is this: there are excellent seekers in every endeavor, but excellence is not a right given to you by the Constitution. And let's face it, the majority of the people today are lazy, and they'll pinch a penny until Lincoln's guts drag on the deck. They'll do the least amount possible or necessary to get the little piece of paper that says it's cool for them to carry. Gabe's words are a very sad truth. Most concealed carry holders do not value training until they need it and don't have it. And excellence is not bequeathed to you upon your birth. Rights are given to you by God, but excellence has to be earned through toil and practice and repetition. I suppose I'm guilty of this as well, at least to some extent. I recommend to my students that they take at least one advanced level class each year and that they fire 100 rounds a month just to maintain that proficiency. Having said that, I too find it difficult to get in those 100 practice rounds every month. As an instructor, I get plenty of time on the range, probably about 20 or 30 hours per month, and even more than that in the warmer weather. But time teaching on the range isn't the same as shooting on the range. One is theory and the other is practical. For example, I was teaching a church safety team just last night and we got done about an hour before dark. I was tired and hot and sweaty, and my biggest desire was to buy a can of ice-cold Mountain Dew on the drive home, guzzle it down, and then sit in front of a fan while watching an action flick. Instead, I stayed another 45 minutes on the range and had a good workout. What I discovered was that I need to do that more often. I'd gotten rusty. One of the things I've started doing is shooting with my students, especially during the smaller advanced level classes. This serves three valuable purposes. One, it gives me important shooting time. Two, it demonstrates for the students what I'd like them to do. And three, it gives the students confidence that I not only talk the talk, but that I also walk the walk. Of course, that last one only works if I shoot well. So I've taken Gabe's words to heart, not just in shooting, but in every aspect of my life. I've been working on my next novel, The Blind Man's Rage, for over 2 years now. I need to finish that, but I just never seem to find the time, and my loyal readers are getting impatient. I understand that, so I put my nose to the grindstone and I'm making good progress on it. One of my favorite movies is City Slickers with Billy Crystal. At the end of the movie, Billy Crystal is back home with his wife and she asks if he's going to quit the job that he hates. And he replies, "No, I'm just going to do it better." In other words, he's going to strive for and earn excellence. Another thing Gabe and I discussed was physical fitness. Gabe made this comment that really says it all. "Strong and fit people are harder to kill, and they're better at killing bad guys." What does that mean? In my advanced classes, I have a drill where I have people put on gloves and punch a heavy bag for 30 seconds. You can always tell the ones who exercise from the ones who don't. Most of my middle-aged male students will last about 15 seconds before their punches begin to slow and lose power. Even some of the younger guys have trouble after 20 seconds. That adrenaline dump into your bloodstream won't last forever, and once you've shot your wad, it'll leave you feeling weak and shaky. And the less you exercise, the weaker you'll feel. In just a few more months, I'll turn 61 years old. Do you realize that a year after that, I'll be eligible for Social Security? That's a scary wake-up call for me. But here's the deal. Just because you're getting older doesn't mean you have to roll over and surrender just because some young buck wants to kill you. To the contrary, it means the older you get, the fatter you get, the weaker you get, the more likely you are to be seen as a victim. Staying lean and mean helps you win that violent confrontation, but it also acts as a deterrent to crimes that haven't happened yet. Getting in shape and staying in shape is a constant struggle for me. Every time I pass a Mountain Dew cooler, I want to stop and buy one, especially the 12-ounce cans, because they intrigue me for some perverted reason known only to God and my own psyche. Last night, after a long, hard day of working, I wanted to just flop into bed. Instead, I went out to my office, and I lifted weights for about 10 minutes. Will it make me a bodybuilder? No, but it keeps me moving and in the right frame of mind. Start slow and build. Here's what I've learned. Getting in shape is not a sprint. It's a marathon, and it lasts for the rest of your life. And now it's time to end this rant and get back to my ice water with a slice of lemon. But remember this one quote attributed to Napoleon Bonaparte and incorporate it into your life. The reason most people fail is they give up what they want most for what they want at the moment. And that's what I really think. Well, okay, folks, that was a good show today. I loved it. I enjoyed it. Thanks for being with me. I appreciate it very much. Head on out to Amazon.com and check out my books, Vey in Combat, The Concealed Carry Book. Just do a search on Skip Coriel and it'll pop right up there. Also, if you're interested in supporting Pat Kolbeck, go to ColbeckForGovernor.com and you can find out all about him. Next week on the show, I'll try and get Brian Kelly or Bill Schuette on, and we'll find out what their views on the Second Amendment and concealed carry really are. I want you to have a good week out there, folks. Stay safe, work hard, don't give up. Well, okay, folks, that about wraps it up for this week's episode of the Home Defense Show. Until next week, remember, your purpose in life is to find something greater than yourself and serve it. Always remember, God, family, country, in that order. It's important how you live, but it's equally important how you die. Your family and the ones you love need your protection, so train, always train, stay alert, stay alive. Until next week on the Home Defense Show, this is your host, Skip Coriel. God bless you, God bless your family, and God bless America.
Thank you for joining us this week on The Home Defense Show. Now, get out there and protect the ones you love. We'll see you next week with more of the best in home defense.
Bye-bye, boys!
Have fun storming the castle!